Tune in for an exclusive and permanent deal just for you. Get ready to immerse yourself in nature with an ongoing offer of 20% off all Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds, exclusively designed for our valued podcast listeners. When you head over to homegrowncannabisco.com and use code COUGH20 at checkout, that's COUGH20. It's time to embrace the power of nature and embark on a growing experience like no other. Wow. Hello, Ricky Williams, and thank you for coming to my podcast, Grow Weed at Home with Kyle Cushman. How are you today?
I'm great. It's one of my favorite topics. Kyle Cushman and growing weed and home. I love all of them.
I miss you, bud. I haven't seen you in a little while.
Yeah, I moved up to Northern California. So got out of LA and I'm up in the mountains and life is good.
Very nice. Yeah, it's been a couple of years. I know you had a little baby boy and all, and probably knowing your genetics, he's probably already been applied and accepted to college by now.
I mean, it's funny, but yeah, he's physically built and he's also pretty intelligent. He's talks up a storm. Yeah, so I imagine like he could be one of those kids that are going to college when they're like 14 or 15.
Nice. Nice. Have yourself a prodigy, but you never know what it's going to be, right? It could be anything from here to the moon, right?
Exactly. But it could be anything, but a part of it is if the potential is there and whatever is in the environment, you know, and so in this kid's environment, me and his mom are always talking about astrology, and there's a lot of cannabis. So those are two potential areas where the prodigy might express itself.
I know you're excited about it. Well, let me just mention a few of your highlights for some of the viewers that don't know what a legend you actually are to some people who, with football. And, most of all, everybody knows that you were, of course, the Heisman Trophy winner, which was is for the best collegiate athlete. And that was before your professional career. And then you did 10 or 11 seasons in the NFL, and you won some awards by being a rushing leader, and you were in the Pro Bowl and All Pro. And so that's quite an illustrious career that lasted, longer than some. Mm-hmm. And what everybody may not know is that you had some interactions with cannabis while you were still a professional athlete, and they were not necessarily very good interactions.
Well, they were good in the moment I was having the interactions with the plant. They were wonderful, and I think that was the problem, is that I had these wonderful moments.
That's an interesting perspective.
Well, it's true. I mean, I wasn't like, people talk about it. People talk about addiction, and addiction is real, but we have to get clear on really like what addiction is. And my experience with cannabis is there was a choice that I made to consume a substance that increased the quality of my life. It improved my life. Yeah.
And are you alluding to that the NFL tried to pen you as an addict?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea behind the NFL's substance of abuse program. Is they're trying to help addicts. That's the premise of the program, is that you have a problem and we need to help you. And so for us not following along with the NFL's drug program is saying that I'm saying that I'm not an addict, that in my opinion, there doesn't seem to be a problem here. You know, I'm performing well. I'm leading the NFL in rushing. You know, I'm not messing with anybody. I'm not going to prison. I'm not abusing anybody. You know, I'm doing my job and I'm doing it extremely well. And so, you know, I couldn't accept the definition that there was something wrong with me or that I was an addict. So I didn't.
That's awesome. We've had this conversation before, and to me, that's really admirable. And so just to bring that story forward, so we can get on to another subject. See, to me, hearing it from you, it sounds like it must have been somewhat traumatic. And the fact that in the future here that you've turned it and you see it in a positive light, that takes perspective. And I appreciate that. But still, I know that it's there still must have been traumatic times when you were going through it about how to go forward. And like you just wanted to do your job. You wanted to continue being who you were and do your job, but you had to fight for that.
Yeah, and, but if we take a step back and see the bigger picture, that the arena that I was in was I was a professional football player. And from someone, you know, someone who never saw football, you know, but they understood what trauma was and they watched a football game, you know, they probably would walk away thinking, all of those guys are traumatized. All of them. Okay. So being in an environment where there's trauma that we have to overcome, that's what football training prepares you to do. And so I'm not going to say it wasn't traumatizing, but my attitude about it wasn't that it was traumatizing. It was that this is another linebacker or another defense or another obstacle that I have to figure out how to overcome.
I get it. I really do get it. And so my perception, as naive as I'm sure it is that recently it's changed a little bit. And have you been welcomed back in at all as an emissary into the NFL, even on a small scale?
Yeah, you know, I have definitely been welcomed back. I wouldn't say that it changed like all of a sudden, that it's actually been a very gradual, slow change. And you know, when I got suspended, when I left the NFL, when I retired, that was back in 2004. All right, 2004. And at 2004 in California, they already had years of medical going. And so in the larger scheme, it wasn't crazy, but for most of the world, it was crazy, especially when we consider how much in our culture we cherish fame and all this stuff. And so at the time, yeah, it didn't make sense. And then I left, and then I came back. And when I came back, it already started to soften. It was like, you know, it's like when there's that difficult thing that nobody wants to talk about, you spend all your time avoiding it. But once it's finally talked about, then it's out of the way and it actually becomes easier. And so when I came back from the NFL, because before nobody knew and I was hiding it, and so no one ever talked about my cannabis usage. Because that was the way I wanted it. But after I left the NFL for it, then it was like, well, now we can talk about it, right? The skeleton was out of the closet, and so it allowed people to start to have real conversations about it. And so whenever cannabis in the NFL, that question came up, the experts came to me, because when you put the two things together, like almost in any football fan's mind, when you say NFL and cannabis, the first thing that comes to their mind is Ricky Williams. I promise you, 100% of the time, okay, is Ricky Williams. You know, when people say, oh, that's Ricky Williams, they like, I hear him. I see it come out of their mouths. Oh, that's the NFL player that smoked pot, right? It's this automatic association. Right? Why? Because those things were talked about intensely for a shorter period of time together with my name. And so it created a way for the collective to start to have a way to integrate cannabis in sports, cannabis in the NFL. And it was me being suspended, so it was a way that was the natural way of thinking about it is bad, bad. But when I came back, and the way that I carried myself, it allowed people to have conversations about it where it wasn't always bad. Because I'm not a bad person. And anyone that spends any time with me, you know, they might not understand me, okay, but they like me. And so, you know, this idea, and I had a moment where I was like, did I really just throw my life away? And I thought, actually, I'm the one who decides what happens next, you know? And if I stay, like, stick to my guns and I keep doing me and I keep trying to be a better person, eventually I'm going to be a positive example for cannabis. And I'm starting to see that occur, but it's coming from personal interaction with people being around me and realizing I'm not stupid. I'm not lazy, right? I'm intelligent. I'm connected. I'm grounded. And so it allows people to get rid of those false ideas and those lies that they've heard about what cannabis is. And I think, to me, it makes everything that I've done on the football field have a greater meaning because I've been able to use the platform that my physical ability has given me to have a bigger message. And it's been more rewarding than just running up and down a field scoring touchdowns.
I think that all of those decisions is what adds up that makes you a trailblazer to me and to other people. And, it's a little something to be, I think, to be proud of, like you said, even above and beyond the football. It's opening people's minds and now they're talking about it and your name comes up a lot and you don't even know about it. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. How many people's minds have you opened?
Gazillions.
Exactly. It's mind blowing to think about it, but I know that you can relate to the feeling of getting someone to like think bigger and not be stuck in a limited way of seeing things.
It's awesome. And that's why I love our conversations. And, you know, so to bring it even forward more. So here we are in, 2020 post pandemic and stuff. And I think it was around and you started the Heisman Cannabis Company.
Yep.
And, what led you to that journey a little bit?
Yeah. It's something, when this all started back in 2004, I never could have imagined. But, my first entree into the cannabis industry didn't occur until about 2015. And I did a deal with Weed Maps where we just did some content together. And one of the first things we did is I went and spoke at a cannabis conference. And at first, it just blew my mind that in downtown Phoenix, in the convention center, they were allowing a cannabis conference. It was like, whoa. And then it blew my mind when I sat on stage and for the first time shared my story publicly and was honestly, and how many people were like inspired. So after I spoke, I was walking around the conference and people were coming up to me like I was their hero, and it didn't dawn on me that there are a lot of people that were being prosecuted by their teachers and their coaches and their parents for using cannabis. And then they see a professional football player retire from the NFL for it. And it kind of helped them feel like they had a shot, that they weren't alone. And I was like, wow, and I realized that there's value in that, and that we all need people to inspire us. And so I started thinking about, okay, what can I do in the cannabis space that can inspire people that way? And it just kind of like dawned on me, exactly. Like I use cannabis and I accomplished a lot. And that's the story that that's the story that I'd like to tell. So I created Heisman to be able to tell that story, is that to start to see your cannabis use as something that helps you be better. And I think that that flips everything on its head and allows people to get the most out of this wonderful plant.
People are finally getting it, right? It's blowing up, as they say. So so aside from all the boring, promotional stuff and how you get on the shelves and all that, has it been rewarding? Has it been a hard row? How are things going?
It's been both. Again, my training is that what makes things rewarding is that it's difficult. And I think anytime someone comes into has an entrepreneurial has an idea, okay? A big part of being successful is being able to deal with disappointment because your idea how you think it's going to be is seldom what it's actually going to be like, okay? I learned that a long time ago. And so entering into a startup, especially in this climate, you mentioned COVID, everyone's having to deal with COVID. And the early part of the cannabis industry, a lot of people, the green rush, a lot of people threw their money in and a lot of people got burned. And there's a lot of burnout and disappointment. And so starting a company in that kind of environment, we've seen it. A lot of people are going down. So it's definitely been challenging, but the fact that we're still here and we're growing, that's been the rewarding part. And I've learned so much about business, about people, about connections. And probably my favorite thing is, you know, we're in 7 markets right now, and part of my main job is going to each of the markets a couple of times a quarter and hanging out at dispensaries and meeting people. And like I said before, that personal interaction, I think, is for me is where I shine the brightest. And so being able to be out and as a football star, meeting people and talking about cannabis and having these real down-to-earth conversations, I love it. And then there's the creative side, the business side of doing deals and thinking of how do we take something that's been stigmatized for so long, flip it on its head and tell a story that, you know, our tagline is spark greatness, you know? And it's
well, you're really inspiring just on the internet to me. And I know that that bleeds through to everybody else. And you know, it's just, it attitude is everything, right? And you've got a stellar attitude and it's no wonder, you know, you've made it far in life. Do you have anything behind any new products or initiatives that you're working on that you want to share in the cannabis space or with Heisman?
Yeah, I call it an initiative. And, you know, it's becoming more and more of an initiative, but it started a couple of years ago as I got into to the industry. And I had my own experience, you know, sitting in my room, sitting in my garage, smoking. But getting into the industry and talking to people who have spent, like yourself, who have spent years with the plant and the wisdom that's there. And so learning, you know, I love to learn. And what I've realized is in order to appreciate something, right, it's helpful to learn about something. That appreciation requires some level of education, you know? And so the more I've learned about the plant, the more I can appreciate it, right? So I had a friend, I was up in Portland visiting dispensaries, and a friend of mine was talking about Oregon's Finest, right? It's a dispensary in Portland, and we go by and they say, you know, 90% of the flower, 90% of the products in here are grown organically in living soil. That's like kind of what they pride themselves in. And I was like, I've heard of that, and you know, okay, that's cool. And so suggested some, gave me some samples of a cultivator from up there. And I went to downtown Portland by my hotel to a park, and I sat down and I rolled up a couple of joints. And it was like real sticky, you know, like the good kind of sticky, you know, to where it was hard to roll the joint because my fingers kept sticking to the paper. Anyways, and so I took one hit. And the first strain, it was called Black Pomegranate. I took one hit and I was like, this tastes like pomegranate, you know? And I finished that and I was like, it felt more like eating, you know, ice cream or a smoothie than it was smoking something. You know, it was that kind of experience. And then, you know, there's another a white truffle in there and similar experience. Like the taste, it just kind of, it caught my attention. And I've had that a couple of times before, but it was just so stark in that experience. And so I reached out to the cultivator and we started talking, and I became fascinated with just understanding different ways of cultivating and how it affects the same genetics in different environments. And so come to find out, these cultivators are opening up shop in Florida, and I played for the Miami Dolphins. All of my cannabis stuff went down in Florida. So as a brand, we've had our eye on Florida, waiting for the right partners. And when he said he was going to Florida, I said, take me with you. Right. And we just launched Florida this past week. And so the initiative is two things. One is really educating people about how to appreciate cannabis, you know, whether they're interested in the how it's grown, how it's cured, all any part of the process, helping people really appreciate quality. And two, you know, just happy that I feel like we have some of the best growers in the country that we're partnering with in Florida to be able to provide like really quality flower to help people spark greatness. So really excited about that. Yeah.
Are you ready to take your cannabis cultivation game to the next level? Well, hold on to your buds because we have an amazing offer just for you. Are you familiar with Strawberry Cough? This legendary strain has delighted cannabis enthusiasts worldwide with its mouthwatering flavor and uplifting effects. Lineage? Sure, let's dive into it. Strawberry Cough is a delicious cross between Strawberry Fields and Haze. Its distinct strawberry aroma and sweet taste make it a favorite among connoisseurs. Now, here's the exciting news. We're offering a fantastic deal on Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds. You'll receive 20% off your purchase on any pack size of these seeds when you use code COUGH20. That's COUGH20. That's COUGH20 at homegrowncannabisco.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to grow your own Strawberry Cough. Whether you're a seasoned cultivator or a newbie looking to explore the world of marijuana horticulture, these feminized seeds will set you on the path to aromatic success. Visit homegrowncannabisco.com today and select from their wide range of premium cannabis seeds, and maybe take advantage of 20% off your Strawberry Cough seeds when using code COUGH20. Happy growing, folks! Get ready to savor the tantalizing flavors and uplifting effects of Strawberry Cough, a strain that deserves a spot in every cannabis enthusiast's garden. Check out homegrowncannabisco.com now and seize this offer before it's gone. I like to think, and I kind of feel that the plant knows why it's being grown.
True.
It's an odd thing to say, it's an odd thing to hear, but, you know, I the reason I assign that is because just too many times I've had people come to my house and visit me, whether it's up in NorCal or down here in SoCal, and they're like, man, you grow the best weed. And seriously, I mean, you hear it enough times, you think you can believe it, right? But it's a combination of things. People are being gracious, and so what I'm trying to get at is, the reason why I think I got a lot of those comments, it has a lot to do with the reason why I grew my weed. And the reason, and you know, it's kind of like they say, you know, good cooking has a lot of love in it. It was the reason why I grew the weed is why it came out so good. And so when weed is grown in a connoisseur type way, and it's not grown for a Bed Bath and Beyond market of, you know, dollars per gram,
yeah,
it's a whole different animal. And so when you come across that stuff, you know it.
Yep, you got it. You know, there's this crazy book, and I call it a crazy book because when I listened to it, it was one of those things where I was like, is this real? Like, I couldn't tell because it's very scientific in what the book is talking about, but the results are just kind of trippy. The book is called The Secret Life of Plants. Secret Life of Plants, okay? And this guy, you know, these guys, they became fascinated with their awareness that of how aware plants are of us and how responsive they are and connected they are to us. And so this guy did all this research where he put electrodes on the plant and was able to measure the plant's responses to him, you know? And in one of the experiments, he realized that if he was across the country, you know, and had an orgasm, that his plant could sense that something was going on. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's got to be fungi. Maybe the fungi is all connected. You know, that's really crazy, and it caused a kind of an underground. You know, there's a small subset of people who won't eat plants that you have to kill in order, like you have to harvest,
yeah,
right? They'll eat fruits off of plants. They'll eat vegetables off of plants. But if you have to kill a plant to eat it, like a carrot or something like that, because they're all into the feelings of the plant. So, yeah, you know, it's a very deep and mysterious world we live in.
Yeah, that's extreme. You know, in the way that this book, it was talking more of, as long as we honor the plants, right, that they know that they're going to nourish us, it's like a beautiful sacrifice, you know, as long as we don't mistreat them or abuse them, right?
I'd like to think so. Does that extend into the animal world?
It does.
Okay, as long as we honor the animals?
100%. Because if you think of...
I feel that way too. I'm glad to see you agree.
You even see it in the human kingdom, right? In the movies, right? The scene where the hero has to sacrifice for the greater good, right? That's something we celebrate. You know, even if we think of how we spend our time and our energy, when we spend our time and our energy doing something that benefits other people, right? It's a sacrifice, but it feels really good to us. And I think that's life. I think, at least for me, I feel most alive when I'm sharing something that other people can benefit from or can appreciate. I think that's what I love, like cultivating. That's why I love growing, right? If you take care of your plants, like they like, oh, right? They show you love. It's like, yeah.
Exactly. They're like little puppies.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my next kind of topic. A lot of people know, as I do, that you're very into astrology. And I'm wondering if you could give a couple of insights that you may have learned about how astrology can enhance or improve the cultivation process.
Oh, wow. So it's so interesting that you bring this up today, because just this morning, the past couple of days, I've really been diving into this subject. There's a whole ancient science around it, and learning the moon, it's really based off the moon cycles. You know? It's really based off learning the moon cycles, and more specifically the moon as it passes through the different signs of the zodiac. So most people are familiar with what's your sign, right? And then you go into the magazine or the newspaper and you look for the dates. Oh, that's my date. That's my sign. I'm a Gemini. Well, that because it's talking about in the course of a year, the sun passes through each of the signs. That's why we say it's Scorpio season or it's Libra season. But also the moon moves much faster and passes through all of those signs once every month. You know, so right now the moon is in the sign of Libra. It'll be there for about 2.5 days and then it'll move into Scorpio. And so little shameless plug here. Is I created an app. It's called Lila, LILA, on the App Store. And part of what we built into the app is to make it easy for people to track the moon. Because you just open the app and it tells you where the moon is. And we give you a couple of words of how to connect to and be receptive to the energies. And so I think I know that you can appreciate this because you're a farmer, right? Is that this idea of there's different seasons. You know, and you know, when we grow indoor, we're mimicking the seasons, but it's still the seasons all the same, right? What a plant needs in one season at one stage of life, okay? If you keep giving it the same thing when it's the new season, the new stage of life, it doesn't thrive. But in that new season, if you appreciate exactly what it needs in that and you give it to it, then it can thrive. And that's really what astrology is all about. It's about learning to appreciate and recognize the right time to do certain things. It really is all about timing. And so by tracking the moon through the zodiac, you get a sense of when you know, dealing with pests, when pruning, when fertilizing, when each of these are going to have the greatest effect. And also when doing something is not going to have a great effect, even to curing and storing. You know, the idea, if you harvest and you store on a certain date, right, based on the moon, it'll tend to keep longer. So, it's a science, and it's something that it's a joy to learn and to acquaint ourselves with, because it doesn't only teach us how to be better cultivators, it teaches us how to be better people, you know, because it's tuning us into these universal rhythms, how they manifest in the plant kingdom, how they manifest if you have pets, right? You'll start to notice things in your animals, right? And most importantly, you'll start to notice things in ourself, our own movement of feelings and emotions, because, right, some days certain things nurture us better than other days. And tracking the moon, right, gives us that information of what actions we can take that are going to be most effective to cultivate whatever we're cultivating.
I totally get all that you're saying, and it really it makes me think of my good friends Nikki and Swami.
Yep.
And how they certainly would never plant without consulting the moon cycles and all of that, or harvest and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I know that, like, I love having my garden, but when it's done, it feels really good to to have, because it's a 7 day a week thing for me.
Yeah.
It's really good to get a little break. But then once a month goes by, or maybe 2 months, I immediately miss it. And that's about as long as I can go without growing. So, and also one other thing I wanted to bring up is the Gangier experience.
Yeah.
You did the Gangier course in NorCal at their beautiful campus, didn't you?
I did. You know,
tell me a little bit about that experience.
I mean, you touched on it already. To me, going up to Humboldt, it was like a pilgrimage. You know, you could feel it. You could feel something in the air. You know, and then secondly, it's just beautiful up there. You know, the redwoods. Oh, it's majestic. It's awe inspiring. So just the physical location, there's something there. But I think the real magic of the program.
Imagine, that was my introduction to California. You know, that's where I first lived when I was up there. And like, it was, I thought I could just, you could die here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really beautiful.
It's real. But I think the real value of the program are the OGs, you know, and you mentioned Swami, and just being in their presence and hearing the way they talk about the plant, you know. It was just the subtleties in how they think about and talk about the plant. So that was the richness for me. I felt like I just took in so much wisdom and appreciation, and the stories, you know, especially Swami. You know, I went through a period where I spent some time in India, and it's a funny story. I was driving up the Himalayas with my yoga teacher. And I look out the window and there's just cannabis just growing, you know, just growing. And even like the little room where I was staying, walking up the steps, you know, it just was growing on the ground like weeds everywhere. Yeah. And it was a profound experience. And so I could relate on some level to Swami, but it was like, wow, you know, so much wisdom and experience in that room.
It's really nice to have these guys that have been around, you know, such as myself. We carry some of the stories about the things we went through just to possess the plant, just to possess a bag of weed, let alone cultivate it and share it with others on any kind of a scale. It was a definite rebellion. And it's an actual culture. And these old people, and I'm going to have some of them on the show in coming weeks. We're going to have Derek Gilman on, and we're going to have Pat King on. And I look forward to sharing some of their, you know, insights that, you know, it's just a wealth, because it goes way back. And like myself, we've been caring about, you know, it wasn't selfless when I started selling marijuana at 16. It wasn't just because I wanted to make money. It was there was a caring, you know, behind it, especially once I started growing it. And you see that when you hang out with these guys, right?
Oh, you know, just talking to you, for me, and maybe it's just my sense of reverence for the past, my past, other people's past, you know, and my imagination. You know, I go back to old issues of High Times, you know, and seeing what was on the cover and in the paper, but it being so distant, so like a whole completely different world, you know, and to be like talking to someone who actually was living there and in that world, it's like, wow. So, you know, people think I'm a pioneer, but we all stand on the shoulders of giants, you know? And if there hadn't been people to keep the culture alive in the underground, you know, I wouldn't exist the way that I do today. So it's, you know, and I feel like even in this, like these conversations, like there's something, and it's, you know, now everyone has access to the information, you know, there's millions of videos, you know, everything. But you think of the people that were like, you know, figuring it out themselves. It's like, wow. Wow.
It's important to be able to share the profundities, how profound it is. It might not feel that way for everybody, and that's okay. But a lot of people, I find that even that discover cannabis, you know, in the, in the, in recently, many of them really do discover how profound a change it does cause in their lives in a positive fashion. And it's not just cracking a beer and just sitting in front of the TV. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm just using it as an analogy that there's a deepness to the people in the culture and people such as yourself who want to spread the word, you know? So
somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, man. Well, I think, according to my notes here, we have some listener questions for Ricky. Is that true? We don't. Oh, well. So then we'll strike that saying. And, well, I just want to tell you that, again, Ricky, you're always inspiring. And you always cause some reflection after I talk with you. And I really appreciate you. And before we cut out, I just want to ask you if there is anything at all that you want to mention, maybe even a growing tip that you learned along the way for home growers, before we cut out of here.
Well, I'll tell two quick stories. Okay. One quick story. I was living in Manhattan Beach and I put a couple of plants, you know, Manhattan Beach, most of the buildings are like three stories. So we're in a three story building and the living room and the kitchen are on the top and you can look out and see the water. And so I thought, you know, I'll put some plants up here on this balcony and I won't have to worry about pests. Right. Well, somehow inchworms got into and destroyed my crop, you know, my three or four plants. But luckily I recognized it soon enough and I was able to get some seeds out of it. So that's one story. Second story is also about pests, you know. So now I live up in Northern California. I live in Grass Valley and I have a little garden out here. And, you know, about a couple of weeks into flower, I started to notice some little aphids, white aphids, you know. And I was like, oh my God, here we go. And then I kind of like froze and I wasn't sure what to do. And then a week later and there was more. And then finally I was like, I'm going to try ladybugs, you know. So it took me about three rounds with the ladybugs. But oh my God, it worked. It worked. It was cool. It was just cool to have. It is cool to have a problem and to like put my mind to coming up with a solution and the solution working. It's just so rewarding. So rewarding.
Yeah, you release the little lions and they the only thing about the ladybugs is they're not really smart hunters. You need a ton of them.
You need a ton of them. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a decent budget. So probably took me $50, $60 worth of ladybugs to, I probably overkill just to make sure, but $60 of ladybugs got rid of the aphids effectively.
I can't tell you back in the day when I used to use ladybugs and we were using the high intensity discharge lamps, the ones that burn at like 1500 degrees, the big 1000 watt suckers.
Yeah.
And the ladybugs would fly into the lamp and it would smell like Korean barbecue in the grow room.
See, these are the stories, right? Try to figure it out. Oops, I didn't think about that. Yes.
Well, anyways, home growing is the way to go. And we recommend it for everybody. And that's what we're pushing here. And so I just really want to thank you for another great interview and another great spot that we did together, man.
Oh, this was great.
Well, make sure everybody out there, if you get a chance to check out Heisman Cannabis, if you see it around, I'm sure you'll love it. It's cannabis with good intentions, just like Ricky Williams. So thanks for having you, man.
Yep, thank you.
And there we have it, growers and dreamers, the end of another illuminating episode of Grow Weed at Home with me, your host, Kyle Cushman. I hope you were as captivated as I was traversing through the insightful journey of Ricky Williams, from stadium lights to starry nights in the world of astrology. But sometimes, especially in the world of live filming, things don't always go as planned. Unfortunately, we hit a technical glitch halfway through the episode, losing Ricky's video feed. But remember, every cloud has its silver lining. We may have lost the video, but we've saved every word from this enlightening conversation. So eyes or no eyes, Ricky's inspiring journey is here for you to listen and learn and love. Today, we lit up topics that had us cross paths between the NFL field and the cannabis field, delved into the wonderful work being done at the Heisman Cannabis Company, and took an intriguing detour off the beaten path and into the cosmos. While we say goodbye to this episode, remember, the journey never ends. It just leads us to new roads, new stories, and newly cultivated wisdom. And speaking of cultivation, if edibles, extracts, and perfectly grown plants are your ideals, then next week you're in for a real treat. Join us next time as we invite the Soil King himself, Pat King, onto our show. A master of organics, a seeker of sustainability, and an extraordinary cultivator who has turned dirt into gold in the realm of cannabis growth. Until then, stay green, stay growing, and remember, the best journey is the one we embark on together. This is Kyle Cushman signing off from Grow Weed at Home. See you next week.